Want to know how many of you have your own Bibles here with you? Can you tell me if you need a Bible? Does anybody need a Bible? Okay, we can get you one. Anybody else? Okay, good. Because the first thing I'm going to do is to get you to learn how to read, because we are going to spend time reading from the scriptures. Right, so the first thing I want to do is to introduce you to the habit, a good habit of learning to read, rather than just to hear. Right? So we're going to get you to learn to read the Bible on your own. So we turn to the book of Romans and then we look at chapter 5. Right? So you're ready? Romans 5. And I'm going to. Then you ask us, what am I reading? Why am I reading the scriptures? What am I looking for? That's important. So you want to know how to read. You know, what are you reading for? I mean, there's got to be a reason why you're reading, right? Before I take up this whole theme about the thing here. So I'm just going to run through with you the things you can find. Okay, now maybe some of you younger ones get a bit distracted. If you need someone older to help you read alongside, we'll be happy to get them to sit next to you. You'll probably find it easier that way. Somebody points out to you, oh, this is what to look for, this is what to look for. Can you see this? Can you see this? That will be helpful. I use markers, you know, I use markers to help me to look at these things. So I am presently writing, reading through a new Bible right now. So I'm going to, as it were, read it alongside with you. So this is what I did, the first chapter 5. So I'm going to mark it out as if I'm reading it afresh. Right? So these are the things I look for. And now the question is, what am I looking for? Well, this is to share with you the things along the way, what to look for, what it is, and then and we will come to that part where we look at the camp theme and where we are coming from, what we are looking at, what we should be considering. Okay? Well, let's pray together first. Our Father, we thank you that we can ask you to teach us your word. Show us what we should read for, how we can read it better, and then teach us along the way. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. What are the first things that I look for, obviously, when you read a Bible, right? What I am going to, of course, this is something stating the very, very obvious. You are going to find out lots of thoughts about God. Obviously. If you have your notebook and your pen and all that, you know, it's always useful to carry a pen or a notebook with you and then start listing the things along the way. What am I looking for about God? Then I look for them. So anything that says, mention the word God, you write it down. Right? Well, let's try. Let's try. Just to help you to read. Let's read Romans 5, read along the way. I'll be reading alongside with you, okay? And so, for example, therefore, we read, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God. Wow, today put on there. Imagine, I can have peace, okay, with God. Now, a lot of people actually live very troubled lives. A lot of people are not at peace. And sometimes they are so not at peace, they actually need medical help because they're just not at peace. Right? So imagine when we read this thing here, we can have peace with God. So you pause for a while, you write it down, peace with God. And it will help you to look for. What I'm looking for, what am I looking for? Well, let's go on further. Let's read some more, okay? So then we have talked about peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, okay? Then we read on, through whom we also have access by faith, who you know, into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Wow. Then I put down there, look, I can have a sense of hope. Now, a lot of people look at life feeling hopeless. They look into the future and they feel helpless. They feel hopeless. They feel, look, I'm not brilliant. I am not significant. I am not wonderful looking. What do I have? And a lot of people don't have any sense of hope. So then you put it on there. You mean, if I read the Bible, I can learn about the peace of God and the hope in God? Read on. Read on, because we can discover even more things along the way. Okay, here we go. And not only that, we also glory in tribulation. Talking about all these things here, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, character, hope. And then we look at that in verse 5. Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts. Now, then we read down there. Why? So I have the love of God, all about God, poured out into my heart. Now you ask yourself, is that true? And many people cannot see this. There is no peace, there is no hope, there is no love. But it's there. So if we look at all these things that God can give to us, and it's not there for us, we ask ourselves, what's missing? How come these things are there, and I don't have them? Somewhere, somehow, things are missing. We go on, read further. 5, okay? That's just the love of God. And then we talk about this. When we were without strength, the Lord Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. And then we read on further, verse 8. But God demonstrates his own love towards us. Now, when we talk about God demonstrates his love to us. Where? Where is that demonstration of God's love to us? And a lot of people don't see that. Then we ask ourselves, how come? All these things are clearly stated. You can read them. You can understand them, right? Peace of God, hope, love, demonstrate. These are easy words that are there, and you can find them, but we don't know where it is. Okay, then we go on further to look at all of these things here. Now, if this is true, what happened? What happened? Why is it that we, as we read all these things here, we don't seem to find them very real in our life? Now, we read, come to verse 10 and verse 11, where we take this theme. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God. Now, there is your another mention. And there we go. And we say, reconciled to God. Now, watch this very carefully. If we look at all the things we are discovering about God, they're actually very, very special and precious things. Now, you look at life, right? Sometimes we don't see a great sense, any sense of peace within our heart. And we wonder why. That we look at life and we don't seem to have hope. We ask ourselves why. And we talk about love. Why some people are full of love and then we look into our life, we don't seem to see anything. Then we talk about how God demonstrates his love. And then we talk about reconcile. See, so many aspects, all we can discover about God himself. Right? And that's very obvious. That's, to me, they're wonderful things we want to share with you at this youth conference. Right? We want to share with you. We want to talk to you, whatever level you can talk to those who are a little older, You can talk to those who are there at a committee, and later on you are introduced to a group of guys and girls who are not in it, you know, not particularly in the committee, but they want to tell you, this is our faith, this is what we believe about God, and you can talk to them. You can talk to them, you know, how do I find peace with God? How do I find hope in life? How do I have this love that is demonstrated, poured out? I don't see it. A lot of people struggle. You know, I don't love my parents don't love me, I don't love my siblings, I don't love my friends, nobody likes me. Hey, look at all these things, they're very real problems. That we talk about all of these things. So where, how does it work? Right? Now, these are things that we can simply read. The question is how to make them real, how to find them relevant. That is a big challenge. Okay? Now, we come to the theme for this particular camp, or this particular conference, and it's found in verses 10 and 11. So I'm going to share with you things which are going to just come out naturally. Okay? Now, this is very important for us to. So when we read a book of Romans, okay, one, there will be people whom we call believers reading Romans. Right? There will also be people who are non-believers also reading Romans. Now, how can we make it work, both sides? So I'm going to show you how to read. So you come from a Christian believer's background. You say, I'm a believer. You read Romans 10 and 11, you'll find a message for you. But if I am a non-believer, if I were to read the same text, can I also find a message for me? Answer, yes. And I'll show you how. Think about this. Right? So this is all here. So you can read this on your own. You can think about it. You can discuss it. You can raise questions. You can do whatever you want. But let's look at Romans 5, 10 and 11 for this afternoon. Right? So that we try to see it from both standpoints, from both viewpoints, and you find that they dovetail, they fit in nicely, but you need to know how to look at it. Okay, so here we go. In 5 and verse 10, begin with. Okay? So Paul wrote, the Apostle Paul wrote this, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. That's saying a lot of statement, making a lot of statement. Okay, one. Okay. For if, right now, this word if is not a maybe kind of a if, right? So this is important. We are talking about, you know, putting it for argument's sake. For if when we were enemies of God, we were reconciled to God. First, now, a lot of people don't realize this. Where is our starting point? The big problem that people don't realize is that we, because we are sinful, we do wrong things, we do bad things, we become, as it were, enemies of God. That's the first problem. And so, because of this enemies problem, we don't seem to have any peace. We don't have hope. We don't see love. That is a problem, because the status of where we are becomes a problem. So the first thing we read when we read this particular text for the believer is this, right? So we want to look at it very carefully, and we want to look at, we call this a reflection. Right? The statement says, when we were enemies of God, we were reconciled, all right, through His Son. This is called a reflective view. I am reflecting, right? I am reflecting where am I? I look back, there was once upon a time, I was an enemy of God. Right? But you know what I had? I received reconciliation. Now that is important for us to understand. So this is the big word that we're going to study. You mean in reflection from enemies to now reconcile? That is wonderful reflection. Never forget that. Once upon a time, enemies. Now, not enemies, but reconcile. From the believer, we know we like to reckon, we call it meditation, we call it contemplation, we read in Psalm 109, we talk about how we think about it, how we meditate on it, which is called our reflection. And the more you understand this, the more you reflect on it, the more wonderful it becomes. Imagine enemies reconciled to God. Well, then you begin to understand how that's possible. Right? It's possible because that's God's love. You can read more on your own, Romans 5, but you can read. So this is what God, so on reflection, we think, wow, because of this, we can understand how we have now hope in the Lord, how we have love from the Lord, we have peace with God. Now, this is called reflection. But if I were a non-Christian, if I read this, what do I have? If I were to read a text like this, you mean God will give reconciliation? You mean the Christians understand this? They believe in this? Now, what is that? If I'm a non-believer, how do I read this text? To me, I put it down. This is an outstanding offer from God. Wow. Because this is for all. This is for you. If I am an enemy of God today, can I be reconciled to God? Answer, yes. Can I have the peace of God? Yes. Can I have hope in God? Yes. Can I have the Lord of God poured out to me? Yes. What does that mean? To me, I look at it and I say, wow, this is an outstanding offer. No question about it. You see, so it works both sides. For the believer, you look at it, you reflect on it, and you just stand amazed. And believers, it's a one good habit we want you to learn to cultivate. Learn to reflect. Learn to have reflection. You think about your faith in God. You think about God. You think about what God has done. You think about all that we read in the scriptures. You think about it. This is called reflection. Right? To those who don't have this understanding of faith in God, you look at it and say, wow, what do I have? Right? If when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, I mean, God will actually do this. He will reconcile. What is the cost of my reconciliation to God? The cost of it all is the death of His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, I have a reconciled relationship with God. This reflection will make me so much more appreciative of what it is that God has done as I read. And I look at it and say, I am amazed. All right? So this is one part of it. But if I am a non-believer, I would read this and I ask myself, is this offer only open to some people or is it open to all? And the word is open to all. So this makes it an outstanding offer. Right? So I put down there, this is a tremendous offer. What is this that I am reading? Reconciled. Now, Paul goes on further. See the reasoning. Let's go on. Okay? Now, read 5, 10 and further. Read a little bit more. Okay? Now, as we talk about reconciled, you know, then we read, so much more having received, or having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now, that we go on further. Okay? So I move from reflection. I ask myself, so much more. When you have a phrase, so much more, obviously it's more than reflection. So what do I do when I finish reflecting? I think, you mean, this is reconciliation. So I think of the word called ramification. Now, it's a big word for some people, but you can learn this word. This is called so much more. In other words, this is here. Now, don't forget this. Right? So you have lunch, don't forget the dessert, kind of thing, you know. This is called so much more. And can I have a second helping? Yes. Can I have a third helping? Some will have fourth helping. But think about this thing, so much more. This is called a ramification. And just imagine what it means to actually think about it. It doesn't stop there. So much more, we shall be saved by his life. What does that mean? Right? Now we ask ourselves, what does that mean? There is the balance of thought between death and life. We are reconciled by his death. We are saved by his life. Now, you see, that's a beautiful balance of thought here. So I look at it and I say, wow, this is fantastic. Now, if you think in terms of the reconciliation and you ask yourself, what is the cost of that reconciliation? And the answer would be the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I want to appreciate it. All right? Now, what is the ramification? And this is the word where Paul tells us we then have salvation by his life. This is why later on a group of people will come and close this part of it and share and say, I serve a risen Savior. You see, we don't talk simply about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We talk about how he is alive to us. We are not presenting a dead Savior. We are presenting a risen Savior. He lives. And by the fact that he is alive, gives us his ramification, gives us his understanding, gives us a tremendous sense of assurance that we too will live. Now, this is wonderful to take note of. So as I read, and I think about it, for a believer, I begin with reflection about reconciliation that God has planned. Now I think of the ramification, so much more. See, many people stop, I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, there is nothing more. Right? If I say I believe in the Lord Jesus and there's nothing more, you've missed a big thing. It is so much more, not nothing more. So what is the so much more? And that is the wonderful thought that reconciliation is the starting point and God wants to give to us, we will sing, salvation to impart. That's the song that we're going to sing, salvation to impart. And it's a wonderful song to be able to sing. Right? Now, so the question is, how do you know he lives? And the answer from the hymn writer is, I know. Why? because he lives in me. See, this is how we want to answer. So when people ask, how do you know God lives? And your answer is, listen, I know because he lives in me. Right? So my faith becomes alive. My faith in a risen Savior makes the Lord Jesus alive. And I am alive in him because he lives. Right? So there's another song, because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Right? You see the whole point of it all? So when we talk about because of his death, we have reconciliation. Because of he lives, we have ramification. And this is some of the things we can have. We have access to God. We have access to the grace of God. We have access to all the things we need for our life. All because of all these things here. So what about a non-believer? What is this? So I look at the Christians, well, I say, well, I envy you Christians. You don't have to envy. You know what you can have right now? This is a really, really, you think about these things here. This is to me a really awesome opportunity. Right? So we look at the offer from God, and this is your opportunity at this youth conference. An opportunity to discover. An opportunity to have faith. An opportunity to learn for yourself. You can read on your own. I'm just trying to put things together. And it's actually there. You think about it, you will find it's there. Right? The opportunity is very, very obviously there. You know, opportunities don't come just like that. You take it. The opportunity is there. If you don't take it, it's gone. Right? You don't seize it, it's gone tomorrow. So during this camp, you are going to hear a lot about these things, about reconciliation, about justification, about salvation. So many different things to learn along the way. Now remember, every time you hear, it's an opportunity to you. Right? This is a, little me, I like to think of this as an awesome opportunity. I want to know. Then more, all of us start off with, I don't know. So I ask myself, you mean it's possible to be no longer enemies with God? Yes. Possible to have peace, possible to have hope, possible to have love? Yes. Is this a real offer? Yes. Is this opportunity here? Yes. There we go. Okay? So much more. Right? So first, having been reconciled through the death of his son. Now, then we went on, having been reconciled, right? We shall be saved, see, so much more by his life. Now, we go on into the next verse, to verse 11, right? So you can read this on your own. Read verse 11. And then, and not only that, wow, it is called add on. All right, you have this reconciliation, not only that, and not only that further. Wow, what else is there to talk about? And it's just absolutely wonderful. Let's consider that not only that, we also rejoice in him. Wow, this is a wonderful thing to think about, right? So this is something that we want to read very much further, and we are. See, the challenge to be able to rejoice, right, is something that a lot of people don't know how to. I mean, you take a look at your faces. I see your faces and I know there's no real joy there. Have you ever looked at yourself? When you look into the mirror, what do you see? You need to make yourself beautiful. Otherwise, you fear that nobody will look at you. But if you have joy, you look at the mirror. The mirror feels shy. Why? Because you are looking at a beautiful person there, and this beautiful person is not a made-up person. It's just simply a person able to rejoice. The word rejoice here, it's in English way we call it rejoice. The Greek word is, it's a word that we don't use nowadays because it sounds like a bad word. It literally means boasting. But you see, we use the word boast because the word boast is like a, you know, if you are a boaster, people don't like you, you know, kind of thing. But the word is not always negative in its usage. So that's why they translated it into rejoicing. Literally, the person is, if you put it in English today, is really bursting with joy, rejoicing. It's not just, how's the food? Okay, not bad. That is horrible. There's no real joy. We're talking about looking at it and you take it and say, and then you just say, this is great stuff. Now that is the word. So you just imagine, we think about reflection, we are reconciled. Right? So then we think about what it means. Not only that, we are saved, salvation through his life. Not only that, there is it. So you ask yourself, what is the third thing here? For a non-believer, what would I find? Right? If I'm a non-believer and I look at it, you know, I put down there, I would have an optimistic outlook of life. Because to be able to have this kind of approach towards life is called an outlook of life. Right? And so Paul is giving to us an outlook of life. So there are three things that we really want to think about here. Not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Right? So first, there is an offer of reconciliation. So if there are people who don't understand the Christian faith, right? What is the Christian faith? And the answer is, here we go. It starts with God offering reconciliation. Right? Now, this will be gone further. Second, you have an opportunity to be reconciled through the Lord Jesus Christ back to God so that we can have this reconciliation and all the ramifications. Right? So then what is the end result of it all? What is the result of it all? Your whole outlook towards life is now full of joy. Rejoicing. Does that make sense to you? Right? So this is something we need to look at very carefully. So when we look at these two verses together and we look at it and say, wow, this is something exciting. This is something very real, something very precious, something that is, I hope you will explore during the whole week. All right? So based upon these two verses, we have three things for those of you who are new. An offer, an opportunity, outlook that is optimistic. So you ask yourself, what's your outlook towards life? A lot of people fear, dismay, despair, no hope, concern, anxiety. You don't have to have that. You can have a certainty. You can have this sense of joy that is there. So these are three things you can, this is what these three things are offered to you. One, offer. Two, opportunity. Three, we take a look. This is the outlook of joy towards life. Right? This is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. My joy I want to give to you. Right? My joy I give to you. This is his joy. Right? Now, this is something that is offered to every single one. And that to me is an absolutely wonderful thing to consider. So during this whole next 4 days, Monday to Thursday, we are going to explore some of these things here. It's all based upon this word, these two verses here, they are called reconciliation. One single word has got these three meanings. Right? So here we go. So the believer, You look backwards. You take this and you look backwards and you reflect and you confirm, you know, it's true. Reflection, this is true. Once upon a time, enemies. Now, reconciled to God through the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, His Son. But not only are we reconciled. Now, we go on further. What do we have? Not only that. So, it just read very carefully. Not only that, we have our salvation through His life. When the Lord Jesus died for us, we were reconciled. When the Lord Jesus rose and became alive, we have our salvation. It's clear and certain. We are sustained by His life. So that is what we call. And not only that. So Paul has a not only that twice over. See, so the reconciliation has got a lot of these things here that are really worthwhile looking at. Right? What else we have? We can have a very strong, positive outlook towards life, rejoicing. Now, seriously, you ask yourself, how many of you, when you wake up in the morning, you rejoice? A lot of people don't. They get up grumpy, get up fed up, get up tired, get up worried, get up anxious, get up, I wonder how I'm going to go through this day. See, this outlook is so much better. Right? So when I look at it, you mean by being reconciled, I have all of these things here? Yes. Right? So now we go on, look further very quickly throughout this this chapter, right? To move on to verse 12. Okay? Now this is very important. You talk about how sin came into the world, and that's enough. So we have this word. A word that a lot of Singapore like, Singaporeans like. Verse 15. The free gift. There we go. Right? We always look for the free gift. Well, this is the free gift. And now we have an opportunity. Look at this idea here. We have a free gift. Now this is very important. Not like the offense. So we go on further. We talk about. Then we look at it, a gift by the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then we now we learn another word. There is the grace of God given. Why would God do all of these things here? One word, grace. Right? So you want to discover some of the things. And it's all here in chapter 5, Romans 5. Let's take a look at this thing. The grace of God. And in verse 15, the grace of the one man. So we have the grace of God. We have the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we look at grace, verse 17. We have abundance of grace. It's not just a little bit of grace. Many people locate grace to, well, God, give me grace. I'm going to sit for my exams. And then grace over. Oh, no, no. You have not even begun to discover what that grace is. There is an abundance of grace available. It's there. But remember, it's an offer. It's an opportunity. You have to take the opportunity. Right? And then you can end up with this optimistic outlook. But if you don't take the offer, don't seize the opportunity, you will still be the same old person. Now, we go on further. Read further. And then quickly over to look at these things here in verse 18. Right? Resulting in the justification of life. Now, there we go. Come across a big word. The word justification can be used in a number of ways. This one is a justification of life. How wonderful it is to be able to stand before God righteous. This is part of the reconciliation that God has planned for us. You put it all down. Okay? Now, let's say that there are sins. And sins, there's so many sins. Sin abounds. How do we cope? Well, we come to the grace of God. Grace will abound even more. Grace abounds much more. You see, so these are things for you to discover. So sin reigned in death. Grace reigned through righteousness to eternal life. In other words, you can have the grace of God today. You can have the grace of God for tomorrow. You can have the grace of God for eternal life. You will have the grace of God for always. Right? This is in our reflection. We begin to understand how glorious, how wonderful this reconciliation is from God. Right? It is a wonderful thing, but you need to take time to reflect on it. But if I don't reflect on it, it will just be another word, just another Bible verse, just another Bible lesson, and it's gone. You need to take time to reflect on it. Wait a minute. Let me go back to it. Let me list all these things. There is, where we go? The peace of God. There is hope of God. There's the love of God. There's the grace of God. Abundant grace. Grace to eternal life. So many aspects to discover. Reflect. You have to do your part. Let me think about this. You can do it on your own. All right? Really read. That's the thing. What do I read for? I read for information. I read for instruction. I read for insights. I read for inspiration. I read for impact. I read. And I want to share this with you. Read. But you need to reflect. Right? So then once you have understood that, you move on. So what happens if I have read? How do I know I have read well? Watch ramifications. It will hit you. Then you suddenly begin to, wait a minute, you mean this is what I have? I have access to God. I don't have to be worried about tribulation because God has His plan. He's going to help me to grow further. I become more persevering. I develop character. I develop hope that will never disappoint me. And I read. These are the ramifications that I am going to discover. Obviously, what's my result? Rejoice. You see, these are some of the things we want you to discover for yourself. Now, it's not going to be a message. It's not just going to be a Bible lesson. Remember, this has to be for you alone to find out. Right? So, it's all there. But you didn't find out. Why? Because you didn't do this. But if I take time to reflect, if I take time for the ramifications to come, if I take time to look at it, the result would be, this is my joy. Right? So what about the newcomers? The newcomers, you have an offer, you have an opportunity, and you can have a wonderful, optimistic outlook towards life, expressed in one word, rejoicing. And a lot of people have not learned how to rejoice in this. Right? Now, I would want to encourage you. Now, is this something that I'm speaking to you alone because I'm a much older person? Can the younger person come up and say yes? And I'm going to introduce to you some of the guys who are going to come. Please come on up. Look at how young they are. They're certainly not old looking like me. Right? And this is where we take a look at it and just go ahead and stand up there and say, you know what, we're going to share this with you. This is our faith. I asked them, are you sure you have this faith too? That the answer is yes. The answer is yes, come on up. Right? Really, come on up. And we take a bit of time each week. We spend a little bit of time learning, discovering, rediscovering, reading again and again, and this is a song that they are going to sing, right? And the words simply expresses what we shall be saved by His life. Now that is reflecting this particular verse, right? Not only that, right? So after we are reconciled, what do we have? Not only that, and so we have these things here. We shall be saved because of His life. That is a wonderful reflection. So this is a song that they want to sing, to share with you. And they say, you know what? We serve the Lord. We serve a living Savior, a risen Savior. Now, this is a lot of difference. We're not saved. We're not believing in a dead Savior. No, we always say, you know, He died 2,000 years ago. No. We got that only half the story. We serve and we serve a risen Savior, a living Savior, and He is alive in our hearts today. It's not just a historical event that took place 2,000 years ago. Don't focus on that. Focus on the fact that He rose from the dead and we have a living Savior. This is the nature of this particular song, the crux of this song. Well, go. They're going to sing it for you. Father in heaven, we thank you that we can begin the youth conference focus on reading your word. Thank you for the scriptures. Thank you for the Bible we have been given. Teach us how to read. Help us to reflect. Help us to consider ramifications. And help us to find the results of finding joy in the Lord Jesus. and to all who are new. Lord, we pray that they will consider this outstanding offer from you to be given reconciliation, salvation, to be able to find very much the reality of what it means to have faith in the Lord Jesus. Help them to seize the opportunity in this youth conference to come to faith in the Lord Jesus and then end up with an optimistic outlook towards life with all its many challenges. We thank you for those of us who have come to faith in the Lord Jesus. Help us to cultivate our faith further during this camp week. We pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.